Good morning, Bridge family. I want to welcome you to this time where we're gathered to worship our Lord, to take in His word, to better focus on His will, and to help one another to live out His ways. With that said, I'd like to begin by asking you a question that's going to no doubt weigh heavy on your hearts, and I'm doing that on purpose. Let me begin and ask you to seriously, personally, ponder this question. Are you ready? I'd like you to think about and then answer to yourself, which would be worse? I want you to think about which would be worse. Would it be worse to never ever hear anything? Or would it be worse to hear for a while, hear so that you understand hearing, and then lose your hearing? And one day no longer be able to hear? Which would be worse, never hearing or starting with hearing and then losing your hearing? Now again, I know this is a weighty question, but I'd like to press in even more. I want you to ask that question of yourself in a new context. Are you ready? What if I asked the same question, but now I put it in this way? What if you lost a loved one? What if you lost a little loved one, a child? And in the losing of that child, do you think it would be worse to have never heard the cries of that child? Or, and I know this is nightmarish, would it be worse to have heard the cries for help of that child, only to later lose that hearing and hear from that child no more? Now again, I recognize I've just asked you to ponder and consider a nightmarish potential problem. But I would say this to you before I explain why I've asked you to think this way. I think beyond a shadow of a doubt, it would be forever worse to have heard and then hear no more. Whether that's in a generic sense or in the context of losing a child. Now, no doubt many of you are already asking, why in the world would you ask these horrific questions? Why would you ask us to ponder such a nightmarish question? And I say to you, that I ask you this question because it is at the very heart of one of the most important lessons that the book of Hebrews and the chapter of 1 Samuel 3, what both of them would bring to you and me as followers of Almighty God. You need to know that it is in fact a greater nightmare to have heard from the Lord and then to hear no more. And if you say, well, why would you bring this issue of a child? Well, let me tell you, friend, if you can relate, if it turns your stomach, if it makes your skin crawl to think of how horrific it would be to hear the cries of your child only to then hear them no more, I tell you, it is even worse when you are the child and your Father in heaven is the parent. And you heard him for a while, but if you heard him no more, it would be worse, for herein there would be an eternal consequence. Friends, I want to bring to you today a message that I have entitled, Five Keys to Continual Hearing. You see, I started with this nightmare because I want to bring you the dream come true of seeing from God in His Word how you can know that you can have continual hearing from God. I need you to see what a horrific nightmare it really is to not hear from God, so that I pray you would value this lesson from God's Word on how to have continual hearing. Friends, we are going to unite 1 Samuel chapter 3. We'll pick up where we left off last week at verse 11, and we'll continue and close out this chapter, and we will see a portrait of one who hears and one who does not hear, one who has continual hearing and one who lost that hearing. And I pray, by bringing it together with Hebrews chapter 1, that you and I will see that this is an eternally important issue. And by the grace of God and for the glory of God, there are promises, there are keys to continual hearing that the church, the true biblical church, the true loving followers of Jesus can hold to. I want you to have this help because I want you to hear and I want you to herald this to the glory of God. I wonder, would you pray with me? Lord, I come now and I ask you to prepare the hearts of those that hear. Plow the soil of all of our hearts. Draw into us, pour into us what we need, I pray. And let each one within the sound of my voice hear you today, heed you today, and be equipped to herald you forevermore. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, let me remind you, if you weren't with us, we're in the context of a sermon series entitled Show and Tell, the Word of God. We've had 3 weeks in a row, where we've focused on Samuel and the speaking component of God to his people. Now, we've noted that in 1 Samuel 3, we're told that the word of the Lord was rare in those days and that his vision was infrequent. We noted that that's a problem because we're told in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, that God spoke. And we pose the question, why is it that sometimes and some people don't hear from God, whereas God has promised that he spoke at many times and in many ways through the prophets in the Old Testament? And then last week, we noted that we have this promise that carries over into the New Testament and unto us in our day, that God speaks through his Son. Now, we have established that there are times when there is a problem. We've established that God spoke and still speaks. Last week, we looked at the contrast between Eli and Samuel. And this week, what I'd like to do is press in one more time with Samuel and 1 Samuel chapter 3, again using Hebrews 1 verses 1 and 2, and bringing them together so that you will see that not only is it important to know that God spoke, not only is it important to understand the role and the essential part of listening for the Christian, but I want you to see that there are 5 keys for continual hearing. Many have seen over the years that God spoke to them, but like Eli, there came a time that the hearing went away. I want to equip you from the Word of God in a way that you can be blessed and empowered to know that you can have continual hearing by God's grace and for His glory. So by way of preview, let me just tell you, these 5 keys to continual hearing, they are responding, loving, listening, repeating, and then committing. Those are the 5. And that is at the heart of this message. The big idea for today is that there are 5 keys to continual hearing. Again, responding, loving, listening, repeating, and committing. I want to show this to you through bringing together 2 different scriptures. Let me start off by reminding you where we were last week. Let's look at the first half of 1 Samuel chapter 3, where we established that to hear, we need to listen. We need to be missional listeners. Let me again, just for review, let me bring you back through the first 10 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's God's word that says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli." We noted if those roles were reversed, if Eli had been ministering in the presence of Samuel, we'd probably have a different story here. But servants hear better because they love and they listen. The boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, he was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. One is resting in his own place, the other one is resting in the presence of God. Verse 4, then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again. Go back to bed." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he, Eli, said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Verse 7, see the gospel here. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to Samuel. Note, God is speaking to the lost and the confused who had not yet come to know him. This is the grace of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ, where Christ comes to and he calls on and he captures by grace those who would become his children. Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Eli didn't hear God calling, but he realized that God was calling Samuel. Verse 9, therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. If he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10, here's where we ended last week and where we'll pick up this week. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times. The Lord, God, came to Samuel, stood at Samuel's presence, and called as he had done before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said in response, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears. I am actively listening, prepared and postured in my heart to faithfully obey no matter what." That's what Samuel did. And we noted last week, that's why he heard. That's why he hears. God the Father's drawing him. God the Spirit is preparing him. And by the grace of God in preparation for the gospel of Jesus Christ, Samuel responds with, "Yes, Lord, here I am." Well, let's go ahead now. And again, if we can establish here that one is hearing and one has stopped hearing, let us zoom in now and see, get a better understanding of why the one has stopped. But more importantly, and more to our point today, how and why it is that Samuel gives us a great biblical example, not only one who points to the Messiah, but one who can inspire you and me and help us to see how and why he has a long chain of continual hearing. Let's press in. I tell you once again, we're going to now merge 1 Samuel 3 with the opening of Hebrews chapter 1. And the million-dollar question for you is, will you embrace this grace and understand that what's being shared here is the Word of God? Because I can tell you, in terms of your current hearing and your continual hearing, it's always going to come back to whether or not you treat the Word of God as the Word of God, whether you take it in personally, and whether or not you will actually embrace and faithfully obey this Word, will, and way of God. To that point, let me begin here by bringing back to you our time in Hebrews chapter 1. And again, let's merge these together to the glory of God. Do you see this is the universal Word of God for all of the universe that he created? I would suggest to you that if you think about how you think about communication, it's going to bring you to a fork in the road. And that's my prayer.
I'm aiming for your heart, and I'm going to do everything I can to bring you to God's fork in the road, that you will come to understand that the book of Hebrews begins. The foundation is being set. It's all about Christ. But the first thing you have to accept is that God spoke. The creator of all things spoke his plan, as we saw last week, so that you and I would have his perspective, that we would understand his purposes, that we would embrace and celebrate and live on his promises in the midst of pursuing his purity and recognizing it's going to be a war out there and we need his perseverance. And we can be blessed with his passion if and when he and what he says grabs and owns and indwells our heart. Amen? Well, with that said, I want to take you to the next part of our journey. We'll go all the way into the middle of verse 2. Here's God's word, and I want you to just let these words come from heaven into your heart. I pray that you'll process them in your head, and then you'll work them out with your hands. God's word, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and the first half of verse 2. Long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Whoa. I ask you, recognizing you've probably never read that verse and a half with a 30-second process, but I ask you to do it. Read it with me the way it is spoken from heaven. Long ago, many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us. Do you recognize that God has spoken to you? You. If you're in the us, there's a personal you. That God has spoken. And now he's speaking to you and me through his Son. And you will see, it's God the Father who's talking to you. It's God the Son who's talking to you. It's God the Holy Spirit who is talking to you right now. I promise you, this is not just a preacher. You're not hearing just a sermon. You're hearing the Savior. What do you do with that? Think about the songs we sang this morning and the songs we typically sing on Sunday mornings. That's not just the way you start a church service. Those songs tend to represent what we claim to believe. Those songs tend to represent what we claim God has said and what he wants said and what he wants done. I'm a soul on fire, we sang this morning. I want to ask you, are you a soul on fire? Does that matter? If you are, who do you thank? And if you aren't, where do you go? What do you do? Well, praise God, we have a God who doesn't just speak. He saves. And he sanctifies. And he sends. Do you understand this?
Amen. I pray that you take the heart of the Word of God into your heart. Again, let me just remind you, the five keys to continual hearing: responding, loving, listening, repeating, and then fifth and finally, committing. Let's walk through the last part of 1 Samuel 3 and put this together, beginning with responding. If you want to continue to hear, you need to continue to respond. Responding to grace and repenting of sin. Responding to sin by repenting of sin. Responding to grace as the Lord continues to give you opportunities to hear, you continue to listen. Again, verse 10, and the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Samuel responded, speak, Lord, your servant hears. I ask you, friends, are you willing to embrace and respond to the word of God as the word of God? Have you taken to heart how God speaks and how he expects you to speak on his behalf once you've heard? When you hear, will you heed and will you herald? How you respond has a tremendous amount of weight in the equation of whether or not you will continue to hear. Watch this, and again, bring these two together.
I want to ask you, do you know what God's word is saying? And how are you responding to what the Son of God is saying? Well, we need to ask ourselves, what does he say? And while here what we see is the foundational work to establish that he does speak and that he is speaking, I want to bring to you some of the context of the scriptures, things that our Lord has said. You see, what he has said should shape our identity because it will determine our eternity. What he has said should shape our identity because it will determine our eternity. Do you walk through the word like you're walking through a buffet, or do you treat the Bible like the word of God? All of it. I know people that treat it like it's garbage, trash. I wonder, do you know that it's gospel truth? That this is God talk. God talk. Let's just focus in for a minute on some of what the Son of God said. And I want to ask you, how do you respond to this? It will be revealed based on who you think is talking and how you embrace what is said. It is the Son of God who said, you must be born again. It's the Son of God who asked, what do you want? It's the Son of God who said, you must repent and believe and receive me as Lord. You must follow me. It's a world of difference between gathering and following. You need to follow me as fishers of men. You must go and make disciples of all nations. You must embrace the privilege of being my witnesses. You must love one another, really love one another. You must beware. Beware of the ravenous wolves and the homes built on sand. You're susceptible to both. You must pick up your cross daily and follow me. If you love me, you will obey my commands. I've come to seek and save the lost. What are you up to? I didn't come to be served, but to serve. What are you up to? As the Father has sent me, so now I send you. This truth, it'll set you free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. But let us not forget some of the other things. Woe to you, you whitewashed tombs filled with dead men's bones. Woe to you, you hypocrites. This loving Son of God said that too. I love the fact that this Son of God said, throw your net on the other side. Throw your net on the other side. We've been fishing all night, Lord. Throw your net on the other side. I love the fact that he speaks things that don't make sense. And then he blows our mind with the fulfillment that demonstrates who it is that's speaking. Ultimately, he said, I set for you an example. What are you doing with the example that is Christ?
Again, I say amen and amen. So, five keys to continual hearing, responding. Number two, loving. Listen to verse 11. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the 2 ears of everyone who hears will tingle." It will tingle the ears, 2 ears of everyone who hears. You say, "Pastor Jeff, how does this relate to loving?" I want you to see that as God speaks into people what they need, it is loving for those of us who hear him to heed him and to herald him by loving people the same way. As God is here bringing what will tingle the ears of the people, he is demonstrating his love. And I would say to you, that's love coming down from God to his people. It needs to then be received with love that goes back up to the Lord, evidenced by faithful obedience. John 14:15, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." Well, if his command is to go and tell the people what I've said, loving people will be telling people what the Lord has said. You're demonstrating your love through obedience. You're demonstrating your love into the family of God by telling them what the God of the family has said. And you're also demonstrating your love for the lost, those outside the family of God, by again sharing with them what he has shared with you. I ask you, friends, do you see here? There is an incredible loving difference. Our Lord has said he was going to love people by telling them what would tingle their ears. We live in a culture, especially in the church world, with all the circus acts and all the country clubs and all the showmen who are tickling ears. They're telling people what their itching ears want to hear. That's what Paul told Timothy to watch out for. We live in a culture where the liars are tickling ears when God and his ambassadors are tingling ears. I wonder, are you hearing and are you speaking that which will tingle the ears of your hearers? Or are you tickling ears and having your ears tickled? Would you prefer to have a massage from hell or a true message from heaven, knowing that it will likely tingle in your ears? I pray that the love coming down will turn into your love going up, your love sharing in the family of God, and your love that will proclaim the truth and love of God out to the world. Okay, the third of the keys to continual hearing. We have responding, we have loving, and again, from last week, we know there's listening. Listen to verse 12 and following. As we listen now to God speaking to Samuel, and watch how Samuel demonstrates listening for us. Verse 12, "On that day I will fulfill against Eli," God speaking, "on that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God." Notice this, from beginning to end, forever. "I'm about to bring down the hammer on Eli because of his sin of omission. He knew his sons were blaspheming, and he did not stand in the gap and stop. And I declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Do you hear this? Do you hear? Are you listening? God is telling Samuel that he's going to drop a hammer on Eli and his house. Twice he uses the word forever. Another time he says from beginning to end. Now you understand why he said that 2 ears of everyone who hears will tingle. He's bringing a quivering into their reality. Notice how chilling God speaks sometimes. Notice how he is cursing and he's drawing into light the corruption. He's showing that where there's corruption and complacency, his consequences will follow. Do you hear this? Verse 15, Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Hear that? Samuel was listening. He heard. It shook him. Shook him. He was afraid to tell Eli. Listen to verse 16. There's an important twist here. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son? And Samuel said, here I am. And Eli said, what was it that he, God, told you? Now watch this. What is it, Samuel, that God told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. Do you hear this? Eli is now threatening Samuel if Samuel holds back what he heard because Eli's not hearing. The one who is continually hearing, Samuel, is now being threatened by the one who's not hearing. And notice this, notice this. Samuel says, may it be done to you what you heard if you don't tell me. Now stop. How would Eli know that something bad was coming? You couldn't put that in a threatening form if you didn't know that what God said was going to be bad. You know? Well, if you don't tell me, may you get $2 million if God told you that I was going to get $1 million. Makes no sense. Would never work. Eli knew he had a guilty conscience. He knew that he wasn't hearing because he had the sin of omission. He was sinning by being corrupt and complacent. We're told in chapter 2 that he honored his sons more than he honored God. We're told here in chapter 3 that he knew that his sons were blaspheming God and he did not stop them. I wonder if when you listen, if perhaps you're like Samuel hearing some things that are so hard to hear that it scares you to tell people, or if perhaps you're like Eli and you're not hearing and you know why you're not hearing and it scares you, but you want to know so bad because you know. You know something's wrong. Even that is the grace of God trying to prepare your heart to get you to repent and turn. Here, what we see is that Samuel, in his listening, he demonstrates the want to. And we see from Eli what I think is perhaps the most tragic thing. He's one who used to hear and he hears no more. There's arguably no more tragic a reality. Again, I take you back to my introductory illustration. If you thought it was sad and tragic, nightmarish to imagine not hearing the voice of your child who's calling out for help, I promise you it's far worse to stop hearing the voice of your father who's trying to send you the rescuing grace. And there will be a time, Romans 1 tells us, where if you don't want the Lord, he'll give you over to your heart's desire. And at that point, when you've seared shut the work of the Spirit, you will hear no more. May that not be for any of you that hear my voice. I want you to again go back to Hebrews 1 with me. Watch this and think about whether or not you're faithfully obeying and doing what you're hearing. Watch this and then we'll come back.
You see, if you believe, truly believe, that this is God speaking, and if you truly believe all of what he said, not just the stuff that you like, but the stuff that you need and the standards that he set, it'll affect the way you live. And if it's not affecting the way you're living, then you don't really believe it. And if that's in a microcosm, we call that a spiritual stumble. And with all the love of my heart, I would call you, if that's you, to repent and to come back to restoration. But if this is something that you find to be distasteful, unacceptable, merely something to check off, then I call you to the cross for the first time. Amen. Jesus loves you and died that you would get this invitation. And he sent people like me and those that I call family here in the Bridge. He sent us to go and carry this message. Remember, is that the words of a preacher or a telemarketer, or is that the word of God? I'm telling you, it's the word of God. How you respond to that is eternally important. Those are the conversations that need to happen. That's the place where you and I need to live. For His glory. For His glory. And as an expression of love for those around us. And those who already know, it's encouragement. We need that. It's a war out there. You and I need the encouragement and the inspiration. I tell you oftentimes that discipleship is a process of information, inspection, and inspiration. We need that. This too is from the Word of God.
Okay, friends, I ask you, are you responding? Are you loving? Are you listening? And here are the two new components to build on where we've been. Are you repeating? If you want to have continual hearing, part of it is that you must repeat what God has said. You repeat God's word, God's will, God's ways, as He has said. As an ambassador, you are not an editor. You are not allowed, like Samuel. You can't go and say, ooh, that's a little bit hard. I don't think they're ready for that. I'm afraid to share this. No, if you want to continually hear, then you must repeat what you hear. This is why we champion God's word, God's will, and God's ways. That if you're going to continue to hear, you're going to continue to heed and to herald. Listen to verse 18. So Samuel, this is how Samuel responds. He's fearful. He's now been threatened by Eli. And so what does he do? He repeats the word of God. So Samuel told him, Eli, everything and hid nothing from him. What we see with Samuel is that biblical example of one who repeats. Those who are redeemed will repeat what the Redeemer says, the word, the will, and the ways of God. Eli, in his response, again by contrast, and Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Does that sound like reverence? Does that sound like respect? Again, it's a backhanded compliment of one who has been caught, one who is convicted but is not ready to repent. Okay, well, he's the Lord. If he thinks he's going to, again, hear the blasphemy in the attitude that backs up the sinful actions of indifference. I again take you back to Hebrews 1 in a way that I pray comes together and helps you to only be stronger as a witness as this understanding of continual hearing strengthens your worship. Watch this and then we'll come back.
I want you to think about how the word of God is transmitted, both from the scriptures and from the missionaries that represent our King. Number one, it's presented powerfully. Remember the creation account? God spoke creation into being. Think about not just creation, but consummation. It's through the word of God and the power of God and the Spirit of God that consummation is going to come. Everything He said is going to happen. Every promise will be fulfilled. Every standard will be kept. God's word comes through powerfully. I want you to know that it also comes through prolifically. That means it reproduces exponentially. It's Jesus who said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations." Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, "You find those who take this to heart and you pour into those who will pour into others, who will pour into others, who will pour into others." Acts 1:8, the verse for which this church is built upon. "You'll be my witnesses locally, regionally, globally." The word of God, the word of God goes forth prolifically. It also goes through prophetically. We saw that last week, that it is here where we're told it's the prophets who spoke on behalf of Almighty God. And sometimes the prophets will say what is coming, but more times than not, they speak into the present tense on behalf of God. It's not that they're biblical fortune tellers. No, they're biblical truth tellers. And in our day, I've heard it said, "Where are the prophetic preachers?" And that doesn't mean, where are the ones that are going to tell us about what happens tomorrow? It's, where are the ones that are telling us the truth about today? Word of God spoke passionately, and still today. We see descriptions of those that claim Christ and are claimed by Christ were soldiers in his army. In fact, you get to wear all of his armor. Why in the world would God say for you and me to live in his armor? Not just have it in the garage in case we need it, but to live in it all the time. Grocery store, armor of God. Up in the middle of the night to just go get some milk, armor of God. Going to church, armor of God. It's passionate. You're to be his army. You're to be his aroma. And I love the fact, as if that weren't enough, he could say, listen, you're to be the aroma of Christ. And I said, okay, got it. But I love, he says, now listen, some of you are going to mess that up. So let me just be clear. You're my aroma. And yes, this part of the world, they're going to say you smell like life. Wait till you get a load of the hugs that my people give you. You're going to love being with the ones who smell life in you. But don't be confused. There's going to be another part of the world, and you're going to smell like death to them. And they're going to treat you the same way they treated me. Now, let me ask you, who says that? And what are you going to do with that? If you understand this is God Almighty speaking, and that is, in fact, what he said, you're going to have to come to this fork in the road and decide, what do I want to do with that? How will I live my life? The Word of God comes through purposely. We hear it in the Great Commandments. Jesus said, you want to know the Old Testament? Here it is. It all hangs on this. Love the Lord your God with all. How much of all do you think he meant? What do you think he meant by all?
Everything.
Everything, David. Amen. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And you love your neighbor as yourself. No cocooning. Now, what I do with that is going to depend on who I think said it and whether or not I believe that's really what he said. I bring this to you. It's the principle of the opening of the book of Hebrews. We're going to see a glorious king in Jesus as we go. But you need to understand and commit before we get there to who it is that's speaking and what he has said in totality. That is to inform how you move forward, not just in this study, but in everyday life. Because you see, here's the last way that the Word of God speaks, personally. This is not for that big group over there. This is for you. This is for me. This is for every person you encounter. It's the Spirit of God in us. It's the love of God in us. It's the power of God in us. That will change us. 2 Corinthians 5, read it, 17 through 21, arguably the most glorious passage in the scriptures. You'll be a new creation. The old will be gone, the new will come. You'll be the righteousness of God as an ambassador, as a minister. This is what God says. That's his truth.
All right, so let's bring this in for a close. That fifth and final key, responding, loving, listening, repeating, we see the committing. And here, I just want to close out the chapter and let you see the beauty of Samuel's example of commitment. Verse 19, and Samuel grew. You don't grow without commitment. And the Lord was with him. The way he grows is through the witness of his witness. God is with him. And God let none of his words fall to the ground. God made sure that what Samuel said was true. Samuel only said that which God told him to say, which is how he knew it would be true. But see here again, the sovereign grace and the sovereign power of God making sure that none of his words fell to the ground. Coupled with the human responsibility of Samuel not going off on his own, not adding to or subtracting from what God told him. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. That's the beauty of a witness. That's why I say to you often, the liars, the deceivers, the wolves in sheep's clothing, you'll find, and I have found this to be true, they never come into the light. I've yet to have a wolf come head to head. They're always sleazy. They're always in the shadows. They're always preying on those on the periphery. They'll never come out into the light because they're like cockroaches. They run from the light. They do their work in the dark. They're like mold and fungus. That's where they work best. But those that are true men of God, those who are true ambassadors, the light shines brightest in contrast to the dark. Oh, friends, see this. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel. See, those that are in true koinonia with the Lord, read John 17. We have a oneness with him and a oneness with one another. We will see and be with him in the ways that he chooses to reveal himself. It is the normal biblical way for the family of God. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. As the Lord chooses to do it, he reveals himself to his people. If you want to continue to hear, then I ask you to commit to embracing God's word, God's will, and God's way. It's a true biblical exhortation here. If you want to hear continually, then you must embrace the grace of his word, his will, and his ways. Watch this, and then we'll come back and close.
You can do as so many that I know and some that I love do, and write this off. Or you can say, well, I'm not going to write it off. I don't want to be hit by lightning. I'm just going to play church. I'm going to go through the motions. I'm going to do the stuff that the guy on TV says gets me into heaven. I've been given eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that beats. And I can't look at anyone in the image of God and withhold from them the truth and the love that is desperately needed. And when it comes up against Islam or Hinduism or atheism, you would say, amen, preacher, give it to them. But I'm the same guy that's going to come up against the church going lukewarm, cultural phony. The one who's going to trust in the academics of what they know and not in the awesomeness of the one who is to be known. Now, I'm motivated by the same core truths. My king loves enough to die. My king has said that I am to love enough to go and be willing to die. My king has said, you will speak on my behalf, and don't you ever compromise a syllable. And sometimes I'll put you in places where you get to have the holy hug. Sometimes I'm going to put you in places where you'll be or feel the hammer. You just keep saying, yes, Lord, because I'm king. Don't you forget who's speaking. And don't you forget what I said. And you are going to live with a blessing in the midst of this world, peaks and valleys. Yes, it's going to be ups and downs, but in the midst of it all, you're going to have my blessing and you're going to have my promise and you're going to have me for all of eternity. Don't you get distracted down here. These last days, they're chock full of distractions, hindrances, encumbrances. You see, I love what he said. And I recognize that those that we are in the midst of in our culture, in our community, in our contemporary times, there's this continuum. When you think about what God has said, it goes from, I hate it, to, I don't need it, to, oh, I got that, to, oh, I do need that, oh, I love it. We're in this sliding scale. And you go from won't do to get to in the attitude of the heart. The so what question is, this is eternal truth spoken by Almighty God. It is the only truth that you can trust. It's the only truth that you need. And this truth is wrapped in, permeated with, oozes the love of Almighty God.
All right, friends, I pray that you understand that if you're going to obey, it's a matter of both action and attitude. It's for the head, the heart, and the hands. And come to recognize that the world is filled with brilliant idiots and ignorant experts. You need to be able to discern the difference. You'll not only obey, but you'll actually be. You embrace, you obey, and then ultimately you be, no matter what. No matter what. This is in large part why God gave you and me, Christian, His Holy Spirit, to empower our ability to persevere. To persevere. This is part of what it is to have continual hearing. It's a commitment that perseveres. Listen to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Again, God's word. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, produces perseverance. Let perseverance then finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Friends, this is the essence of being. It's making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. It's going locally, regionally, and globally. It's being one who informs, inspects, and inspires, all while being God's aroma and His army of ambassadors. It's truly being that ekklesia in koinonia and homothumadon. It's being the church. Those who continually hear are continually hearing because they are committed to being the church. Let me show you what that looks like.
So the question becomes, what will you do with this? I ask you, where do you stand with just this hour-long snippet of foundational truths? And I would say to you that your answer, not necessarily from your mouth, but the answer that will come out of your life will depend upon who you think is speaking and what you're going to do with what has been said. And if you're going to understand who spoke the word of God and what it really says, you're not going to worry about political correctness anymore. It's part of the struggle and the problem and the cancer of our day. We have too much Christless Christianity. Oh, we take the name, but we leave the King out. Oh, we'll claim that He's a part, but we don't live like He is King. I want to close and leave you with a reading of what I call our Bridge Manifesto, because my prayer is that perhaps today is a day, if you call the Bridge family your home, you'll come to understand why these are such important truths and where they come from. It's not the personality of our church. It's the power and the purpose and the people of Almighty God through His Word. Before we pray, I want to remind you that this is why we are responding to grace and repenting of sin, trusting the Bible and obeying God's Word, growing in Christ and living Spirit-led. Why we are praying for guidance and following by faith. Why we are committed to dying to self and carrying our cross. Why we are and will be committed to being the church and loving one another, truly loving one another, equipping the saints and exemplifying supernatural unity, ministering as ambassadors and discerning matters shrewdly, worshiping God vertically and experiencing Him horizontally, proclaiming the gospel no matter what, and fishing for men. That's why we're committed to making discipled warriors and winning spiritual warfare. And ultimately, this is why we are committed to loving our King and serving His kingdom. I pray that you will understand, if you've never done so before, that the reason why this is so intentionally intense at times is because it's our God who has spoken these truths. It is the Son of God who has put us on this mission, and it is the Spirit of God in us that compels us to be the champions that are living for Christ. That's what He said. We're privileged. And I tell you, how you respond will reveal what you really believe about the one who is speaking and what is being said. I pray that this is a practical help to you as you're sent out to be a practical helper of others, living and being the church. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I pray this has been a day that has blessed you. I pray that you see that it's God's design and his desire that you and I will not only hear him and listen missionally, but that we'll continually hear and listen missionally. I pray that the five keys to continual hearing, responding, loving, listening, repeating, and committing become pillars in your walk with the Lord. You see, friends, I pray that all of us, let us all live loving, listening, legendary legacies to our Lord. Let that be not just our battle cry, but our legacy. All by his grace and all for his glory. This is why he has given us, the church, his Holy Spirit, that we would be his witnesses to this world. I want to leave you with a timeless prayer and a walk into, I pray, a personal and powerful time of contemplation and prayer. The closing worship today is designed to bring you into that place of listening. I pray that it will never, ever stop.
Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for this truth. I thank you that you have been so clear that you don't want us to read through these scriptures at 50 miles an hour to say that we touched all the treetops, but that you want us to walk through, that we would hear you as you speak, that we would embrace in both attitude and action all that you have said. And Lord, I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice, even those who may right now feel the sting of conviction, I pray they feel the warmth of your love to know this is not harsh and hard. This is holy and helpful. Lord, do a work in each one of us, I pray, that will bring you glory, that will help us to know you better and to share you more. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You tried your way. It didn't work, no. You put him second.
Second, yeah.
And put you first.
Oh, yeah.
You trusted friends. Thought they had your back.
Oh, oh.
And every time you turn around, it seems you're under attack. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But turn to your neighbor and say,
hey.
See, the devil is alive. No, I'm not gonna die. It's okay to cry, cause he's by your side. You gotta stop that hating. I know you don't wanna hear it. Gotta fast and pray and listen to the Spirit. Cause
I'm trying to tell you something.
He's speaking to your heart right now. Just listen to the Spirit. Oh, hold up. Job.
Hallelujah.
Your bills are due, and all the people you helped did not want to help you. I talked to my mother,
she said, pray about.
I talked to my pastor,
he said, pray about.
But I was so blinded. I wish you would just tell your neighbor, tell them for me.
Hey.
See, the devil is a liar.
Hey.
No, you're not gonna die.
Hey.
It's okay to cry,
hey.
Cause he's by your side.
Hey.
You gotta stop that hating.
Hey.
I know you don't wanna hear it.
Hey.
Gotta fast and pray and listen,
hey.
To the Spirit,
y'all.
He's speaking to your heart right now. Just listen to the Spirit,
oh.
Hold up.
Shh.
just doing me every day. Guess I was in my own way, but I'm here to tell you, without his grace I'm a major failure. So if you got problems, know that you can't fix it. Just give it to Jesus. Oh, can I get a witness and tell him, say, that the devil is a liar? You gotta listen to the Spirit. Whoa. Yes, he's trying to get your attention right now.
I'm trying to tell you something.
I know you got your own plan, but God's got a better one. Oh,
I'm trying to tell you something.
Listen.
God's trying to tell you something.
Hey. God's trying to tell you something. Listen, hey, 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 hey. God's trying to tell you something.
Tell me, can you hear it?
God's trying to tell you something.
Listen to this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. God's trying to tell you something.
Listen.
You tried your way. It didn't work.
Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Plant your word down deep in me. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Please show me the way. Sometimes my heart is slow to follow you. Teach me to hear and understand. And I'm told the things you promise, and I hope they all come true. And I know what waits for those who wait and put their trust in you. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Plant your word down deep in me. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Please show me the way. Sometimes I stumble on my way to you. Stretch out again your healing hand. And I'm told the things you promise, and I hope they all come true. And I know what waits for those who wait and put their trust in you. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Plant your word down deep in me. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Please show me the way. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Plant your word down deep in me. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Please show me the way. Please show me the way.
I am your servant, and I am living. is near. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. I need your wisdom, your truth and comfort. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. Through your word, through your spirit, speak your words of love. Speak to me. Speak to me. I am listening, I am waiting. Speak to me. I am your servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. My heart is silent, my soul is longing. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. Through your word, through your spirit, speak your words of life. Speak to me. Speak to me. I am listening, I am waiting. Speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. Through your word, through your spirit, speak your words of life. Speak to me. Speak to me. Oh Lord, I am listening, I am waiting. Speak to me. I am listening, I am waiting. Speak to me.